have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Welcome to Gay USA. I'm Andy Hum.
I'm Ann Northrup.
And, well, what a news week. I'm going to frame it this way. Taking a page from Putin's Russia, Florida legislature passed a Don't Say Gay in Schools bill, and students across the state walked out in protest. Many corporations condemned it, but Disney won't. Now, we're going to have a guest in to discuss all these attacks on LGBTQ youth in the States, Kevin Jennings, the CEO of Lambda Legal Defense and the former the founder of GLSEN back in 1990. He also worked in the Obama administration in education.
And as part of all this, Idaho is advancing a bill imposing a life sentence for providing gender-affirming medical care to young people.
Back to Russia, the leading bishop there is blaming the entire war on gays. And a gay dating app is aiding in the resettlement of Ukrainians fleeing the war.
And you've probably heard by now that the United States out basketball player Brittany Griner has been arrested on drug charges in Russia and has been held for weeks.
U.S. Senator Majority Leader Chuck Schumer is backing off his promise to bring the LGBTQ Equality Act to the floor, now saying, it depends.
It's a mess there in Congress, including another family values congressman, family values in quotes, of course, who was caught in a sex scandal, this time in Texas.
The out gay police chief in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, is fired for pushing diversity in the upper ranks.
Hired too many black people. New York's Mayor Adams met with LGBTQ leaders, but committed to absolutely nothing. And disgraced former Governor Cuomo is aligning himself with anti-LGBTQ activists in his bid for rehabilitation.
And a Vatican official is set to address an LGBTQ group for the first time in history.
Okay.
All right. Let's bring our guest in, Kevin Jennings. Hi, Kevin. Welcome.
Hi, Andy. Hi, Ann.
The CEO of Lambda Legal Defense, which is handling a lot of these cases that we've been talking about. Founder of GLSEN back in 1990, a former teacher yourself. You came out as gay to your students. You won a Lambda Literary Award for in the children and young adults category for telling tales out of school. You're also the author of One Teacher in Ten. Under the Obama administration, you were assistant deputy secretary for the Office of Safe and Drug-Free Schools. You hosted the first national bullying summit. You were born in Fort Lauderdale to a father who worked as an itinerant Baptist preacher. You also lived in North Carolina and Hawaii. Welcome.
Oh, my God, Kevin.
You got my whole life there, Andy. Let me actually begin, first of all, by not only thanking you for having me on, but thanking you and Ann for your decades of leadership for our community and also your pioneering journalism. So thank you both.
And thank you, Kevin. That resume, extensive as it is only the tip of the iceberg for what you've been involved in and the work you've done. So let's start by getting you to explain to us this Florida bill that just passed the Senate there and the whole legislature and is, as we tape on Wednesday afternoon, is, I'm sure, within moments of Governor DeSantis signing it. Tell us exactly what it says and what it doesn't say. One of the controversies is that it doesn't explicitly, in fact, say LGBTQ.
Right. Well, the bill, let's be clear about what the bill is. The bill is not about child welfare, no matter what its sponsors say. It's about silencing teachers and marginalizing already vulnerable kids. And the way it does that is it basically forbids the discussion of themes of sexual orientation or gender identity from kindergarten to third grade. Now, the reality of this is an unenforceable law. You know, it's a typical first grade lesson. I can tell you as a former teacher that you ask kids to talk about who's in their family. So a lot of first graders are going to say, I have two mommies, or I have two daddies, or I have a trans uncle, or whatever they're going to say. And is a teacher supposed to run over and put tape on their mouth? The reality is, this is where the world is today. And this is a part of these young people's lives. They have LGBTQ people they love. They have LGBTQ family. And there's no way you're going to be able to enforce this clearly unconstitutional law.
And the Department of Health and Human Services has sent guidelines to the states about things like this and said that this is a violation. Wait a minute, I've got... Department of Education Secretary Cardona has called this an unconstitutional law and says it violates Title IX.
Absolutely. The Education Department, which I'm a proud alum of, is very, very clear that Title IX covers issues of sexual orientation and gender identity. As Secretary Cardona came out yesterday with a very strong statement that this is a violation of federal policy. So the reality is, this is simply a effort in an election year to play politics with the lives of LGBTQ youth and their families to win political points. It is unenforceable, it is unhelpful, and it is unconstitutional.
Now, it also says that parents can sue if they hear that their kids have heard about this in school.
Well, this is one of the new right-wing tactics, this encouraging basically vigilantism, which really began with the Texas abortion law, where there's a bounty placed on your ability to report people who are seeking abortion care. So there's an incredible new vigilantism being promoted as if it is an acceptable legal doctrine by our opponents on the right that is very dangerous, very divisive, and basically encourages community members to turn on each other and engage in witch hunts. This is not about building community. This is not about protecting families. This is not about helping kids. It is the opposite of all those things. It's about turning community members against each other, tearing families apart, and making kids feel unsafe.
Now, they didn't define sexual orientation, as most civil rights bills do, in the bill. So when the chief sponsor was asked about this in a hearing, what does sexual orientation mean? He says, well, it means male and female. Does that legislative history from this idiot make any difference when you're challenging this law?
Yeah, I mean, the reality is there is a very clear definition of what sexual orientation means in the law. It's existed for many, many decades. But this isn't what this is about. The reason why they're being so vague and evasive is they're trying to create a climate of fear and have a chilling effect on teachers. You know, the bill only covers right now K through third grade. But if I was still teaching high school, I would be afraid to address these issues now, particularly when the Florida Department of Education just a few weeks ago pulled all of its anti-bullying information off its website. This is an incredible situation where we're seeing adults be the bullies of kids. And the goal of the law is to chill discussion, to intimidate teachers, to intimidate school administrators, and to keep them from doing what their job is, which is to create an environment where every child can learn.
And they've promoted this with this sort of insidious theme of parental control and parental choice, which is a very appealing slogan, but it doesn't bear much weight in reality.
Well, no, and it's also like, what parents are we talking about here? LGBTQ parents certainly don't want such a law. And they also have a companion bill, the Florida legislature, called the Stay Woke Act, which would do the same thing to discussions of race that they're trying to do to discussions of sexual orientation and gender identity. I can tell you, parents of color don't want that law. LGBT parents don't want this law. So when they say parents, let's be honest who they're talking about here. We're talking about conservative, cisgender, straight, white parents. And they want the schools to cater to these religious extremists who are uncomfortable with these subjects, and to exclude the view of any other parent who happens to not fit a very narrow mold of what they think a parent should be.
So your primary...
So I want to take you back a few years because you were a teacher and you did invent this whole idea of GSAs in schools and the organization GLSEN. So talk to us just for a second about your experience at that time and with those issues and your understanding of how schools operate around these issues.
Well, the situation is the further you get from the kids, the more your actions are dictated by politics, not child welfare. That's been my experience. Now, I helped create the first GSA in Concord, Massachusetts, where I taught high school back in 1988. And we have had to fight for this from the start to get schools to address these issues. Lambda Legal had to go to court. And eventually in Killeen versus Orange County Unified School District in 2000, we established the federal right of students to have GSAs. So we had to fight in court for years to get this. And we are still hearing from students trying to form GSAs 22 years later than that landmark decision that schools are trying to stop them. So the reality is administrators and school boards and public officials have been trying to stop the addressing of LGBTQ issues in schools for decades. And this fits into, I was a history teacher, so let me do a history lesson for a second. The number one way to terrify parents is to say that they're after your kids. This was supposedly done with Jews who supposedly drank the blood of Christian children in the Passover Seder. That was used to justify the pogroms. It was done with black people. Supposedly black men were after little white girls. That justified lynching. And it's been done with LGBTQ people all the way back to Anita Bryant, where supposedly we were pedophiles and we were recruiting children to be gay. So this is part of a historic trope where people invent a boogeyman that's after your kids and try to terrify people with that specter. The reality is the real danger to kids is allowing bigotry to rule what we teach in our schools. And these bigots are the threat to children, not LGBTQ people.
And in fact, Governor DeSantis's press secretary, Christina Pushaw, has said anyone opposed to this Don't Say Gay bill was essentially a pedophile trying to groom 4 to 8 year old children for sex.
Yeah, and you know, that's very interesting because every study on the subject finds that children are much more likely to be molested by straight men than they are by women of any sexual orientation or gender identity or gay, bisexual or trans men.
And you've got to be encouraged at the fact that there's been a lot of protest from students. There was a walkout across the state. We even have a little brief video just to encourage people, show people what they're doing. The representative, Fentrice Driscoll, led a group of students in a chant of "We will not be victims." So, and there's the big rally also opposing this bill. So kids are not going to be silenced. They're shouting gay, 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 gay as much as they can these days.
Absolutely. And you might have seen the recent Gallup poll, which showed that 1 out of 5 members of Generation Z, that is the young people in schools right now, identify as LGBT or gender nonconforming. The reality is this generation is comfortable with LGBTQ issues. They are comfortable declaring their identity as LGBTQ people, and no backward state legislature is going to turn them around.
And there was that kid, Jack Patoche, 17 years old at Flagler Palm Coast High School, who was suspended for promoting the walkout on social media. And he has since then been cleared because they had to back up because there was so much protest of disciplining him.
You know, in some ways, I feel a little sorry for our opponents. They don't seem to realize that they are on the wrong side of history, that the next generation has already moved on these issues. That video was so powerful to me. And let's make that woman superintendent of the year, by the way, because what she's doing is putting her kids first. And that's what schools should always do. And well, what the Florida legislature is doing is putting politics first.
But let's talk about Texas, though. I mean, where they passed this anti-trans.
We're going from bad to worse, Andy.
Well, because, you know,
yeah, I mean, you
Governor
talk
Abbott
about
just Governor Abbott just got renominated, running on all this right wing stuff. His campaign manager said, "We win, you know, 75 to 80% when we push these issues."
Right, and once again, that's what it's all about: political points. The specific law, the specific issue in Texas right now, is that the attorney general has issued an opinion that we can interpret parents and caregivers who try to provide life-saving, gender-affirming care to trans young people as committers of child abuse. Now, let's be really clear about this. This is an opinion by the AG that at this point has no legal power. So once again, it's an attempt to intimidate people and chill the climate for LGBTQ youth, their families, and their care providers.
Well, you all got an injunction on this, but only for the person who is in the lawsuit at this point.
Right. So what, for people who are not aware, Lambda Legal operates the only national help desk offering legal support to LGBTQ people across the country. You can go to our website. It's lambdalegal.org/helpdesk. If you are a victim of discrimination, please contact our lawyers who, and every complaint is analyzed by a lawyer, not a volunteer, not an assistant, not someone who is unfamiliar with the law. They're all analyzed by lawyers. And what happened with us was we got a call from a client in Texas who was at risk because of this law, and we managed to get into court within 3 days to get protections for her now and her child. So now where we are right now is in a bit of a standoff, and it's unfolding hour by hour, literally, where the Texas AG's office filed a frivolous motion. We have gotten that struck down. It's going to be a game of legal tennis now for probably months as we try to combat these people in court.
But in the meantime, Texas Children's Hospital has halted hormone therapies for trans kids in response to these threats.
Exactly. People behind this move are getting what they want. They are intimidating care providers. They're intimidating doctors. They're intimidating parents. We're now starting here. We have an office in Dallas, and people are calling our Dallas office telling us that they are moving their children out of Texas because they no longer feel like they're going to be able to adequately care for and protect their children due to the climate that's being created by Governor Abbott and Attorney General Paxton. So they're getting what they wanted, which was to create a climate of fear, and it's starting to impact people.
Well, there's a stay on the Arkansas bill that does this, right?
Yes.
But Alabama wants to do it, make it a felony for 10 years if you give gender-affirming care, and the Idaho Senate Committee cleared a bill that creates a sentence of life in prison for providing gender-affirming care to minors.
I think we need to recognize that none of this is an accident. All of this is part of a very carefully crafted playbook by our opponents on the far right side, groups like the Alliance Defending Freedom, who are coaching these legislatures, providing them with model language and talking points, who are doing public opinion surveys to figure out what hateful message will sell the best. I think a lot of people would like to imagine that these are just a few kooky legislators doing kooky things. This is not. This is part of a coordinated right-wing assault on our community, which is trying to use that historic trope of they're after your kids to terrify people in the middle that they should not support LGBTQ rights. So none of this is accidental. This is part of a very carefully crafted and well-executed strategy on the part of our opponents. Do not think it is a few kooky legislators. It's much deeper than that.
And we went through this 20 years ago on marriage, where they used the idea of same-sex marriage to scapegoat us and to win elections. George Bush ran on this. State after state after state passed laws or state constitutional amendments. And it took us some years in court, but eventually we won. I am concerned that we are in even worse shape on these laws because they are so viscerally scary in the way they portray them that we have a long haul to get past this.
Look, whenever anybody tries to predict the outcome of judicial decisions, they're foolish. But I will say a couple of things. First of all, Lambda Legal's attorneys are brilliant. We managed to stop the trans athlete ban in West Virginia last summer on behalf of an 11-year-old trans girl, Becky Pepper Jackson. I am very confident in the ability of our attorneys to fight these laws. But in the meantime, people are getting hurt. People literally are being denied care at hospitals. They're feeling like they need to pick up their children and move in a hurry to another state. That while these laws are, these suits are working their way through the courts, people are being hurt.
And teachers now, teachers are leaving the profession because they can't deal with all the culture wars that are on their backs all the time. They want cameras in classrooms to watch the teachers and let the parents watch their kids be taught.
Yeah, I mean, it's completely insane. And we know this is affecting LGBTQ youth. The Trevor Institute, Trevor Project, did a study, and 85% of trans and gender nonconforming youth and 66% of lesbian, gay, and bisexual youth said that their mental health was being negatively affected by all these public attacks on them.
Well,
so we're literally driving kids crazy.
I hope the donation of $100,000 to the Trevor Project from the Las Vegas Raiders, on top of $100,000 that the out player Carl Nassib gave, will make some difference.
Absolutely. But the reality is, the root of the problem is these legislators and their far-right allies who are willing to play politics with kids' lives. You know, as a former teacher, I really believe that your job as a teacher is to make sure that every kid in your classroom feels like they belong, every kid can fulfill their potential, and every kid can achieve their dreams. And what they're doing goes against the very ethos of education.
So we really appreciate the work that Lambda is doing, and we celebrate every success along the way. And, you know, then you have an outlier like the governor of Utah, who has stood up and is vetoing a no trans in sports bill, which seems like a unicorn. It's so unusual these days. But what would you say to our audience about what they can do on a daily basis to fight this fight?
First of all, schools in particular are the ultimate local issue. We have 15,000 separate school districts in America. About 15% of people bother to even vote in their school board elections. So that allows a tiny part of the population to seize control of the system. So get involved. Go to school board hearings. Vote in school board elections. Make sure that extremists don't take over your local school boards. Secondly, we are vastly outgunned by our opponents on the other side. Lambda Legal, the ACLU, the Texas Education, the Trans Education Network of Texas, TENT, Equality Texas, all the statewide equality groups. If you've got some money, give money to those organizations, because we are fighting on multiple fronts, multiple fires, and we need more resources than we have. So I would say two things in the end. If you have financial resources to spare, please be generous. And secondly, get involved with what's going on in your local schools. They are, after all, paid for by your tax dollars. So you have a right to get involved.
And are you, just to finish, are you encouraged that there are really good places where it's happening for gay kids and the LGBTQ kids?
Oh, absolutely. We're seeing states like New Jersey and Illinois and California passing laws that require the teaching of LGBTQ history in schools. So it's sort of like a tale of two countries right now. We have places that are going out of their way to actually require that the full history of the United States be taught, including LGBTQ people, and then other states that are trying to erase our very existence. Well, so we have a lot of work to do to help the good places be even better and to stop the bad places from hurting kids.
Well. Thank you for all your work. It's terrific. And thank you for all the updates. And I hope our viewers are really listening hard about how they can get involved in all this.
Yeah. And if I could just say one more thing, please go to the Lambda Legal website. If you are experiencing discrimination anywhere in the United States, lambdalegal.org/helpdesk, and an attorney will assist you.
Thank you.
And you're right about the future. The kids are going to solve all of this. Thank you, Kevin. We'll ask you to come back for regular updates and inspiration, and good luck with all of this.
Thank you so much. Keep up the great work.
Thank you. Take care. You too. Wow. Well, you know, we are getting some adult support. 150 corporations condemned the Florida bill. except for Disney, which is not doing that. But these corporations are also giving all the money to elect these right-wing Republicans who pass these bills.
Including the latest news today was AT&T going back to funding right-wing Republicans as well as Democrats. But they tend to give these corporations that consider themselves neutral because they give to both parties tend to give a little more to Republicans. And why are they... Let me not ask a stupid question. I know they're giving money to politicians because they want them to do their bidding on various business laws. But really, it would be nice if all of that were illegal and corporations could not fund politicians at all. That would change things. But Disney's annual meeting is right this minute as we are taping. There are shareholder resolutions proposed about non-discrimination that the Disney management has urged their shareholders to vote against. We'll see whether this current leader is called on the carpet. He's not very popular.
The current leadership at Disney is stacked with right-wing Republicans.
Yes, it is. And that's a change, but that's...
Bob Iger, who was a little better on these issues. But the employees, gay employees, LGBTQ employees, complained bitterly about this. And they said, if you've got a problem, we have a human resources office and we can refer you for psychiatric help. I swear that's what they said to them.
And not only did they say that, but the guy who wrote the memo suggesting they go get therapy if they were feeling upset also said, and I gave a donation to the Human Rights Campaign, and you may want to do the same.
Yeah, Human Rights Campaign ought to turn it back. Let's turn our attention to what is, you know, dominating the news these days, and of course that is the war in Ukraine from Russia. We also want to give some hope here. ILGA Europe has posted different ways that you can help the LGBTQ people in the Ukraine. Go to ILGA-Europe. .org, and they list a whole bunch of resources, and as I said, we protested these, you know, Putin in 2013, and nobody listened to us. Now everybody wants to get rid of him. The Ukraine was making so much progress under Zelensky and some of his predecessors, once they got rid of Yanukovych back in 2014. So there were pride parades in Kiev as recently as 2021. And one of the chief organizers of that was a bi-gender trans activist named Lenny Empson, who was the director of Pride. And they were planning a new one in January. They were still planning to have a pride in Kiev.
Yeah, their laws are not perfect. They have a ways to go on that. But this, look at this outpouring in Kiev.
Right. And Lenny is planning to return for the fight in the Ukraine. Lesbian activist Olena Shevchenko is staying in the Ukraine. But she said there is no system that can stop this. And then she used an expletive that we're not allowed to use. There's so little hope when the West is not willing to get involved in a full-scale World War III.
No, we're not willing to get involved in a full-scale World War III. I have moments of hope when I hear that there are negotiations going on, but Putin is completely crazy and untrustworthy, so they may agree to something one minute and then it changes the next. And then you have people, and he's lying so much to the Russian people that they don't even know what's going on, or they support this because he's lied to them about why he's doing it. So you have a Russian Orthodox bishop who is very pro-Putin, and he's now giving sermons saying that the West is punishing Russia for being an anti-LGBT country.
That's right. By the way, people are using the gay dating app Romeo, which is very popular in Europe. gay people are using it to open their homes to gay Ukrainians who are fleeing. That's from Prague to Pisa to Belgium, Berlin, France, Portugal, Holland, all over the place. They're using the Shelter for Ukrainians group within the app. And the shelter is not only for men, most of whom are staying behind and fighting, but also for their parents and sisters and children. It has 8,000 members in this group within Romeo.
Well, there are hundreds of thousands, as you know, millions who are fleeing Ukraine. So there's a lot of need for help. And caught up in all this, just unfortunately, by a matter of timing, is the great WNBA basketball star Brittany Griner, who was playing in Russia.
There she is.
Yeah, now that was the Russian Orthodox bishop. This is Brittany Griner playing basketball. She and other WNBA stars regularly play internationally because they are not fully well paid by the WNBA. So they play in Europe, they play in Russia, they play in other countries. And she's been playing in Russia for the last few years in the off season. And suddenly, as she's trying to come home, she's grabbed at the airport and accused of having vaping cartridges that include hashish oil, which is sort of concentrated THC, as in marijuana.
And I read that she was arriving from New York. She was leaving?
Leaving Russia.
I see. All right. Well, okay.
I believe, correct me if I'm wrong. And she, they grabbed her. There's some question about whether she actually had those on her or whether this is a fully trumped up charge. You should excuse the expression.
Well, we have almost no diplomatic relations with Russia anymore. So it's going to be
all our diplomats out.
It's going to be extremely tough for her. But there is a big national campaign. You know, she went to Baylor, a Christian school, and they're supporting her and trying to get her back. Obviously, the league.
In spite of having asked her to remain in the closet while she was at Baylor.
Sure.
But now she's out and married, and her wife, Sherelle, is making public statements about loving and supporting her and asking people to work on her behalf and telling people that they're all, her whole team is working to try to free her. There's some question about whether she will be used as a bargaining chip in negotiations.
By the way, we've learned in the run-up to the war, British intelligence used Grindr to get information from Russian soldiers on the front to find out their positions, and it was very successful. Their soldiers, apparently, are very unguarded. Also,
wow.
You know, the Russian education ministry instructed teachers to spread disinformation about Ukraine because, quote, our policy is freedom for everyone. To independently determine their own future and the future of their children. Sounds like Governor DeSantis.
Well, perhaps that is our segue back to the United States. And just to catch up on the details of what's going on in some of these states, I am thrilled by Governor Spencer Cox in Utah, who announced that he would veto the bill that was passed by his legislature forbidding trans kids from participating in sports.
Well, he originally wanted to set up a panel of experts to evaluate each kid individually. And the legislature said, no, we want to ban everybody. So that's why he won't sign the bill. He says, I just want them, the kids, to know it's going to be okay. We're going to get through this, whatever that means.
Well, I certainly hope so, but I really, really appreciate him saying that, especially in Utah. And then I'm also crazy about those students, the college students in Texas at the University of North Texas, of all places. I'm making assumptions about them. There's great video, which we can't show you because of what they're chanting, but they're all sitting in this amphitheater classroom, probably 100 of them, and they are pounding their desks loudly in unison and chanting F these fascists against a state legislative candidate who was there to speak to the class who is against his trans daughter, his abortion, all vaccinations. He was brought in by the Young Conservatives, and the students in the class just were going, F these fascists for minutes, going on and on, loudly chanting against this guy. It's beautiful to watch. University of North Texas. Look it up on YouTube.
Some better news from New Jersey. An appeals court sided unanimously with a trans man who sought to keep his name change private. In 2020, a Mercer County judge ruled you have to disclose it in the newspaper, and I refuse to seal this court record, exposing the man. An appellate panel agreed that trans people deserve privacy and protection from the harm of disclosure, even when New Jersey changed the law. All right. Shortly after this horrible decision from the lower court judge, he would not invalidate his own decision. So the higher court did.
All right. Bad news. Good news. Bad news. Iowa. The governor has signed a no trans kids in sports bill. What's her name? The governor of Iowa. Never mind.
Yeah, she did the Republican response to Biden.
But in Missouri, here's the good news half. In Missouri, Twitter has suspended the account of the heinous anti-LGBTQ representative and now Senate candidate Vicky Hartzler because of her transphobic tweets.
By the way, I read an encouraging article that said because Twitter is sort of shutting down Russia and they're shutting down Twitter and everything, that the whole Twitter sphere has become a lot calmer since then. I mean, this is not a joke, a serious development, because that's how we got Trump. That's how we got Brexit in the UK. That's how we've gotten a lot of this turmoil. Trans softball players want their World Series moved from Texas. The Gay Softball League tourney is slated for Dallas this summer. The league isn't moving. They say, we understand the concerns, but we want to spotlight LGBTQ people in Texas. Trans athletes want to deny Texas the $5 to $7 million economic impact.
And I also want to recommend another piece of video that you should watch, which is about a five-minute speech that Florida State Senator Chevron Jones, the only out gay member of the Florida Senate, I think black, out gay, very emotional speech against this bill and about his father rejecting him and his brother dying before he could come out to him.
Send me a link and I'll put it in our email. And if you want to be on our email list to get these extras, go to gayusatv.org, sign up. You'll get an email from GoDaddy saying you really want to be on this list. You say yes, and then you get them once a week.
I'll try to dig up that University of North Texas video, too.
Okay. I did a 20-second interview with – I asked Chuck Schumer, what's up with the Equality Act, and do we have that? Here's what
– We're fighting hard to get it. We still need some more Republican votes. Jeff Merkley's leading the charge, but we're going to keep fighting until we get it done.
Will you have a vote if you can, just to see where people stand?
That is – as long as our groups, you know, our LGBTQ plus groups think that's the right thing to do, we will definitely do it.
Thank you.
That is not what he said in April, where he proclaimed, we will get a vote in the Senate. Every senator will be forced to show where they stand on the issue. They won't be able to duck and hide. So he's going to let our groups tell the Senate, oh, no, we don't want to lose. You know, I want to know where everybody stands.
Well, evidently, HRC got to him and said, hey, don't get out ahead of us, Chuck. We don't want that vote. We're going to lose and we don't want to lose.
We want that vote. All right. Yes. All right. In other national news, an anti-LGBT family values U.S. Representative Van Taylor, Republican of Texas, was caught in a sexting scandal with his mistress, Tanya Joya, the widow of an Islamic State fighter. You can't make this stuff up. He's a husband and father, three daughters. He asked the mistress for a long, slow, what can I say on this show?
Not that.
Pleasuring him down there while he had a drink and then
too
some
much.
Deep. All right. Anyway, Joya she wanted assistance with her program, which is preventing violent extremism. And in 2019, and their affair ensued. He paid her $5,000 to delete the text. Now he says he made a horrible mistake, but he's got caught and he is dropping his reelection campaign.
Yeah, well, couldn't happen to a nicer guy. By the way, South Dakota, I'm going to sprinkle these state things in as we go. The legislature there has passed a bill allowing censorship in the curriculum of LGBTQ stuff, undoubtedly racial stuff, too. The state-by-state pogrom is it's just marching ahead as if
New York City Mayor Eric Adams, we told you, appointed three anti-gay bigots to high posts. Fernando Cabrera, the worst of them, is getting just a few dollars less than the mayor makes as a salary to work in the faith-based office. It's horrible.
$220,000+
So he met with a whole range of LGBTQ activists, and they let him have it and said, we're never going to forgive you for this. And he's basically said, well, I believe in evolution. And, of course, the people he appointed don't. I mean, they're fundamentalists.
I believe in evolution.
That's what the mayor, meaning that they evolved.
Oh.
Didn't you see they signed the statements that my press office prepared for them?
Yes, yes, I get it.
All right. So anyway.
I was shocked that neither he nor any representative of the mayor's office showed up at the Queen's St. Pat's for All parade this weekend.
The power of New York was there. Put the picture up. I mean, Chuck Schumer marched. It was dedicated, by the way. You see the guy holding the poster. That's Tarlac McNeilish. Who died of COVID when the parade was suspended. But the speaker of the city council was there, all the council members, the comptroller, Jemani Williams was there, all the gay LGBT, Tish James is back there. She was marching. Everybody was marching except the mayor.
Bloomberg marched, didn't he?
Yes, he did. Hillary marched. The mayor has a gay problem, and he's not solving it.
He was at the mainstream Queen St. Patrick's Day march the day before.
Well, he might have gotten, if he showed up, he might have gotten a few boos. You got to be willing to take that in politics. But you show up. You show up everywhere. That's all politics mostly is.
At least send a representative. He did nothing.
Nope.
Shocking.
Now,
Andrew Cuomo's showing up, but he's showing up in right-wing churches or making right-wing speeches in churches.
I mean, Cuomo, this is insane. He wants to rehabilitate himself. He's attacking everybody who, got rid of him. And then he said, and I would love to go to the Reverend Ruben Diaz Sr.'s church. This is, again, one of the leading anti-gay bigots in the country, and he wants to speak at his church to get rehabilitated.
Well, there will be marches this June for Pride Month, and we told you that Reclaim Pride here in New York was holding an online town hall last weekend, but it got postponed. So now it's rescheduled for Sunday, March 20th from 4 to 6 p.m., go to reclaimpridenyc.org to get the details and register to be on that. And San Francisco has announced that it's going back to the two parade model, the mainstream parade and the alternative march, the Reclaim Pride style march, so the People's March. So we're evidently going back to that. I don't know what Heritage of Pride is doing yet in New York. I don't think they've made an announcement.
We will have a link to the Reclaim Pride March 20th Zoom thing in our email. Now, in Bayport, Long Island, a man who sent 20 threatening letters to threaten to shoot, bomb advocates of the LGBTQ community, he pleaded guilty in federal court February 23rd. He's a 74-year-old, Robert Farag, very obsessed with us, and he's been doing this for years. So he faces 5 years in prison. He pleaded guilty. His threats were against LGBT service groups, the Pride March. They found all kinds of ammo in his home, and he will be sentenced by a Clinton-appointed judge. Not related, but the main group he was harassing, the LGBT Network of Long Island, run by David Kilmick, was just stripped of $10 million in state funding for not reporting properly how they were actually doing their work and from the Department of Health.
Kilnick denies this and says we were having trouble getting the state to pay their contracts, and therefore our reporting was hampered, and they've only taken away $1 million, not $10.
We'll follow up.
Yeah.
New York did an analysis of hate crimes laws and basically found that only 15% of these charges resulted in any kind of a conviction. Just 1% in the Bronx. The prosecutors just say it's hard to prove.
And the sad news this week, another trans woman found murdered. Well, she was murdered in September last year, but they've just identified her. Jerry Judd from Bossier, Louisiana, longtime trans activist.
57 years old, was involved in the trans rights movement, also known as Phoenix Riversong and Jerry Phoenix.
And in Houston, Texas, they've now identified trans woman Paloma Vasquez, age 29, shot dead. She was an immigrant from Latin America.
In better news, in Los Angeles, they have their first woman and first LGBTQ person to be the fire chief, Christina Crowley, Kristen Crowley, who has been in the department for 22 years as a firefighter, paramedic, engineer, fire inspector, captain, battalion chief, fire marshal, and deputy chief. When she took the exam back in the 1990s, she finished in the top 50 out of 16,000. Her wife, Holland Bullock, is a decorated retired firefighter. They together saved many lives and homes during the Malibu Canyon fire of 2018.
Yeah, it was a great story. They went in to save one person and ended up saving a whole neighborhood. Here's a little cautionary tale, Kristen. In Fort Lauderdale, Florida, they have a new gay police chief, Larry Sherrato. And he, after a few months on the job, has just been fired because he hired too many new police officers of color. That is an official, I think, of the local NAACP standing next to him to support him. It's an outrageous thing. The white officers were complaining that too many people of color were hired as new officers. Larry had gone in there and said, you know, I look at these pictures of former police chiefs and officers, and they're just too many white people. And he got fired for saying that and for following through by hiring people.
But that Amtrak engineer who was involved in a horrific crash that killed a bunch of people, Brandon Bastian, was acquitted at trial.
Yeah, this was a crash in Philadelphia in 2015, 8 dead, 200 wounded. He had been charged because the train that he was the engineer of was going twice as fast as recommended for that particular stretch of track. He had been charged with involuntary manslaughter, but his lawyer said, and he said, look, I made a terrible, terrible mistake, but it wasn't a criminal act. It was just a horrible accident. And the jury agreed with that and acquitted him in part because he had owned up to that and did apologize and did acknowledge that he had made a mistake.
And we're talking about him because he was an out gay guy. At PFLAG, they have a new executive director, Melissa Dondria, succeeding Drew Tagliabue, who was there forever. And she has 20 years experience in programs for New York City youth and families. She's coming from the Girl Scouts of Greater New York. She grew up in the youth development programs of the city, like the YES program for LGBTQ youth at our community center.
And in the sports section of our program, as you know, we have a bias towards golf. And so we want to congratulate PGA Tour caddy Todd Montoya, seen there on the left with the pro he works with, Brian Stewart, on the right. Todd has just come out. He he was out. He's come out gradually to a few family and friends and pros he worked with. But he gave a big interview to the Golf Channel and told a very moving story of having to be silent for years and now feeling free at being out.
He says he's walking on air. There are no out male PGA Tour pros. There never have been that I can think of, even ones who left the tour. I can't think of any.
I think we've heard recently about a college player or two who are out, but you're right, in the main pro ranks, no. Lots of women, though. And the U.S. Soccer Federation has okayed the resolution to ban homophobic chants at games. They will adopt that resolution.
That was something Kevin Jennings worked on at Ranger games, because he's a hockey player, and he went to Ranger games, and there were some horrible anti-gay chants, and he tried, but the Rangers were very unreceptive back in the late 90s.
Well, the Virginia Republicans in the legislature are also unreceptive to repealing their anti-same-sex marriage law, which is still on the books, unenforceable since the Supreme Court decision. But everyone wants to repeal those laws because the new Supreme Court may very well revoke that ruling, overturn that ruling.
Everybody's rushing to pass anti-abortion laws if they haven't already. That's another thing Florida did this week, limiting abortions to 15 weeks. So we go to international news.
Well, we just want to congratulate the new out gay mayor of Boynton Beach, Florida, Mayor Ty Pensurga, Filipino, 33 years old. Congratulations, Ty. There is some good news from Florida.
Yes. Okay. At the Vatican, for the first time, they're sending a representative to an LGBT group meeting after 2,000 years. Sister Natalie Beckwart, an undersecretary at the General Secretariat of the Synod of Bishops, the first woman to have a right to vote during a summit of bishops. She will speak via Zoom to New Ways Ministry on April 3rd at noon, a webinar of the U.S.-based Catholic LGBTQ ministry. They say her talk will focus on the practical ways the church can become a church that listens to all its members and discerns the best way to handle current issues. Sister Janine Gramick, who's a veteran at this, hopes that this is only a beginning.
Well, it better be, because she's not listening. She's lecturing. And this is supposed to be part of a Vatican campaign to consult with all parts of the Catholic population around the world.
You're not going to let the people talk from the group?
No. She is giving a lecture. She is giving a lecture.
What's the point of Zoom, then?
Well, so that she can lecture them.
Well,
it's not a meeting. It's a lecture.
Hey, New Ways, stand up for yourselves. Demand to speak.
I hope you're not muted throughout and can interrupt. Now, here's a horrifying story. Guatemala. The Congress there has passed a new bill, no same-sex marriage, in spite of the Inter-American Court of Human Rights mandating it. No teaching about sexual diversity, no abortion availability. They're just heading backwards to the fifth century.
And a really horrible story out of Azerbaijan. LGBTQ plus journalist and activist Avaz Hafizli, mutilated and killed February 22nd by his cousin, who was arrested and confessed a gruesome murder. The cousin objected to his activism on behalf of trans people, especially. This guy who was killed once chained himself to the gate of the prosecutor general's office to protest inaction on hate crimes. He was brought to the morgue in a garbage truck because the police didn't want to touch his foul body. So lots of trouble there.
Terrible story. In India, the defense ministry has refused approval of a new film based on the true story of a gay army major. Their excuse is that it's illegal to be gay in the armed forces of India, although we know they got rid of the sodomy law for the country a few years ago. But the military, as in this country, is a separate operation.
In Cameroon, now they still have, you know, criminal penalties for gay sex, but they handed down a six-month prison sentence and fine of $1,100 to one of the perpetrators of a violent attack on an intersex person last year in the capital. A 27-year-old Sarah was attacked by a violent mob while others filmed the attack and posted it on social media. It took pressure from the Cameroon Foundation for AIDS for the police to follow up and do an investigation. So, but this is considered progress that they're actually going to penalize someone for harming one of our people.
Absolutely. Breakthrough. And in Scotland, the government is proposing a law that will ease the process of changing gender identification on documents and in life. No need to prove medical diagnosis of gender dysphoria, shorter waiting times, and reducing the age when you can do it from 18 to 16. There are, of course, those who object and think this is just tragic, but the government is moving ahead with a more progressive.
I do have one AIDS story from Maryland. The ADAP program there was hit with a ransomware attack in December, and the state health department has yet to be able to repair it. And people with HIV who depend on it can't get their meds. They're blaming Governor Larry Hogan for being unresponsive with all the hacking going on. We need to all have our records backed up. 6,000 people are affected by this.
I'm very confused. There, you know, one minute I think the entire world is falling apart and systems are breaking down and people are just falling back into terrible ways of thinking. And then I see the North Texas University students pounding their desks, and that makes me happy.
That's great. Look, I you know, I have people in Arkansas. They're fighting back against all that stuff. I mean, there are a lot of good people everywhere. All right, entertainment news. Jerry Falwell Jr.'s Pool Boy sex scandal is being made into a limited series by Groundswell Productions.
Of course, of course.
Usually end up on the FX network. It's based on the Vanity Fair expose that we all read, many of us, by Gail Sherman.
I would be very surprised if there aren't three competing versions of that story on the air. Survivor comes back to CBS tonight as we tape with five, count of five, out LGBTQ contestants, including one trans man. It's only taken them about 150 years to get there, but they do have more out.
Well, that's how long it took for the, for the Congress to pass the Anti-Lynching Act.
Yes.
122 years.
Well, I was going to express surprise that they voted unanimously to pass it in the Senate, but it turns out that not everybody was there, and it was just sort of a voice vote, so who knows?
All right.
Also, I've been watching The Morning Show, finally, on Apple TV+, Plus, which I think sort of jumps the shark in the second season with a lesbian storyline. No more spoilers. But it's my life. We're producing The Morning Shows for some years, so I'm in.
And the Discovery Plus channel is bringing The Book of Queer this June, highlighting stories of LGBTQ historical figures. Executive produced by Eric Cervini, who did the biography of Frank Kameny, the big gay activist. It will include Bayard Rustin, Eleanor Roosevelt, and others.
And there's also a series called Fire Island coming, so we'll give you more details about that.